This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh. And driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Come back, pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
From the belt, the runner goes, the pitch. A swing and a ground ball to Paul DeJong. He fields it behind second, throws to first for a Redbird winner. Tsutsugo grounds out short to first, and this ball game has come to an end. Fireworks in downtown St. Louis, celebrating win number 2 of 2022. The final today, the Cardinals 6, the Pirates 2.
So far, so good. Cardinals 2-0 going into today's 1:15 game with Steven Matz on the hill. 12:20 pregame with Joe Pott from Cardinals Nation. I'm Tom Ackerman. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning, coming to you from the Stiefel Sports Studio in downtown St. Louis. Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol missed yesterday's game after being diagnosed with the flu. He was at the ballpark prior to the game. He did meet with the media. Then he tested negative for COVID-19, and Skip Schumacher, in his first season with the Cardinals as part of the coaching staff after 4 seasons with the Padres. And of course, Skip has been part of this organization, most notably as a world champion player, is in the dugout again today. He will be the manager of the team as Ollie sits out. Here is Schumacher on the win yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking when I woke up today that I was going to be managing from inning one or pitch one. But, you know, I found out 45 minutes maybe before the game started that, you know, he was under the weather, and so had to go home, and here we are.
Let's listen in now as he visits with reporters.
Does it change quite a bit when you then move to the seat to run the game?
You know, luckily Maddox has, you know, been around forever, and, you know, a game like today when you're, you know, having a couple different bullpen moves, you know, he's been through this thing for 30 years, so it's pretty easy talking to him throughout the game, and you know, getting through some of those innings.
What was the ball like then in the first inning as you saw Michaels kind of get through this game in trouble and get a move for
him? Yeah, once it started getting in the 40 pitches, that's when you start, you know, talking about making a move. And I think that really the game was won in that inning because of only letting in one run. You know, that game could have got out of hand, and getting through that inning with just one run across, I think, you know, helped us stay in and end up winning the game.
Skip, Nolan drove in, I think he had 105 RBI last year, 34 home runs, but he worked on his swing in the offseason. What does that say about him that he worked on a swing that was working pretty well?
Yeah, I've known Nolan for a long time now, and I think he works on his swing every minute of every day. So that's not real surprising that he's constantly trying to make adjustments and growing as a player. And you're talking about one of the best players ever to play the position and still trying to get better. And, you know, when your best players are your hardest workers, it makes things easy. And between him and Goldie, it's fun to watch.
Skip, what did you all see from Miles in that first inning, especially like the Gamble and Tucker at bats, got a long amount of foul balls in those at bats? Where was he at, I guess?
Yeah, just can't put the guy away. You know, we're just I think that was the frustrating part probably for Miles more than us. It's just trying to, you know, the guys are just fouling balls off and not putting them in play. And I think that's what ran up the pitch counts and ultimately got him out of there, you know, quicker than he wanted. And, you know, obviously he didn't want to come out of the game even at that point when we pulled him. But again, he battled through enough to get us and keep us in the game because it could have got out of hand early on. Yeah, for me, he was one of the most impressive guys. I'm new here, right? And I don't know the guys. We played these guys six times last year. So I think he might have even been hurt when I was one of the series. So, you know, when you're seeing 100 with off-speed pitches for strikes, he's going to be a huge part of this bullpen. And seeing him in leverage positions and leverage situations already early on in the season, you know, shows what we think about him. And so a healthy Ryan is a really good thing for us.
Talking about Ryan Helsley right there, who was very good.
Coming into spring, being able to spray the ball more. I mean, he's always had the power to the left side, that full power. But for him to go opposite field today with that power, something that he's rarely does over the last couple of years. What does that say about how we see the ball right now?
Yeah, we talked about swing adjustments and you know, seeing what guys were doing in the offseason because you weren't allowed to talk to them, right? But we've heard a lot of players going to different hitting coaches or trying to figure out their swings, and we knew Paulie was going somewhere and heard some good things throughout the offseason. And then seeing him in spring training, you knew he made a big adjustment. You know, it's one thing if hitting it the other way here, but hitting it out of here at 40 degree weather the other way is significant, and seeing him do that today was big for him but big for us. And you know, that's obviously makes that lineup so much deeper when he's going off like that.
Again, this is Skip Schumacher, who stepped in as manager yesterday and will manage the Cardinals again today.
Yeah, calm. I think, you know, I think of the guys that I played with and the guys that are in the situation right now. It's just they're steady and calm, and there's no situation too big. And, you know, whether it's the Alan Craigs or the Matt Holidays or Pujols, or now it's, you know, Arenado and Goldie, and these guys are, there's no situation that's too big. And it feels like whether there's guys on or on base, they take kind of that same at bat. And so I just see a sense of calmness when they're up. And again, there's just no situation too big. I hope so. I hope it's just a 24-hour thing, and you know, see where he's at. I haven't talked to him since I've, you know, got off the field, so we're anticipating him being back tomorrow.
Again, this is a post game with Ollie Marmol and with Skip Schumacher. Oliver Marmol is out today. It's still down with the flu. Schumacher managing the team again. A little bit more from post game yesterday.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, everyone was available today. The coaching staff, everyone, training staff. So everyone's available. So I haven't heard anything but Ollie.
Is it, I know it's one game, but is there something to take out of a game where the manager finds out he can't go and Miles has that inning and you guys find a way to get a convincing win out of it? Can that be how you guys overcame some adversity today?
I think it's just a testament who's in that clubhouse and these guys that, you know, they came into spring training with during a lockout that, you know, we didn't know who was going to be ready or how ready they're going to be, and they're ready from day one. And so it's not surprising that they're going about it like they did today. And I think there's just a bunch of pros in that clubhouse. And just like the RBI situation, I don't think there's anything that's too big in that clubhouse for them to get through.
What's been said about the depth of the lineup? How encouraging is it that already in the two games you've seen such a large number of different contributors?
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Edman's been great so far down there. And, you know, even on the bases, he's creating chaos, even though there's no stolen bases yet. DC at the top of the lineup's been great, you know, leading off the game with a single. And that middle of the order is as good as you get. So, especially when Paulie's, you know, hitting opposite field home runs, there's no gaps. And so that's tough to match up with this lineup right now. And it's two games, right? So we got a long way to go, but it's fun so far. Yeah, that's on Blair. That's not on me. So yeah, I'm not taking great credit for that. But you know, I think it was actually a kind of a big spot in the game, to be honest with you, because if you lose that challenge early, then you don't get it for a while. So you know, luckily Blair's done that for a while, and he's pretty good at it.
As long as you know, you haven't been around him every day like you have the last there anything that's kind of new to you?
The question about Nolan Arenado here.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Nolan hit in almost every offseason. So, I mean, that's how close we lived from each other. He has a little bit bigger house than me. But but I think that but I've seen him work at an incredible rate as soon as the season ends, whether it's ground balls or hitting-wise. And so nothing is surprising when I see him work because just the way he, his character is. And I don't see him taking days off, pitches off. He's just not – it's just not in his blood. So – I'm not surprised to see it because this is just who he is. It's always who he's always been.
Skip Schumacher, after the game yesterday, the acting manager as Oliver Marmol down with the flu, and that will be the case again today. Marmol is at home. Did pass along to us that he's going to try to get back as soon as he can and that he wanted me to tell everyone that they have an elite offense. Remember, he's been saying this. They said it late in spring training, and it has come true at least the first 2 days. And I know, I mean, they're playing one team, and there will be other teams and more competition. But really, if you look 1 through 9, the Cardinals lineup is very strong, no matter who they're facing. And we'll see how teams adjust to them. I mean, it's going to be part of the 2022 season is how do the Cardinals keep coming at you from an offensive standpoint? Because I think the one thing that we do know is they're good defensively and their bullpen seems strong and their pitching. We all wonder what that fifth spot's going to look like on Tuesday when Jordan Hicks gets out there. We'll start to learn a little bit more about what they do there until they figure out the rest of their starting pitching depth. But the Cardinals do have an offense that maybe it's surprising some people, maybe not, but they have a lot of ability. And this is the lineup today. Dylan Carlson's going to lead off, and he may lead off for the next decade. I mean, you could have Dylan Carlson as a player here for a long time if he's healthy and is a solid switch hitter outfielder. This guy gets on base. Anyway, he's your leadoff hitter. 2, 3, and 4 are the same today. Paul Goldschmidt. Yeah, hitting 400, whatever, getting on base right and left. Tyler O'Neill with that opening day home run. He's hitting 333 out of the gate. He's the left fielder. Nolan Arenado's hitting 625 after going 4-for-4 yesterday. Corey Dickerson's going to be your DH and bat fifth. Albert Pujols fans shouldn't fret there. We all know Dickerson is going to face right-handers for the most part, and Pujols will face left-handers. Plus, you have that big right-handed bat on the bench today if you need it. Dickerson had an RBI single yesterday. Paul DeJong with the home run yesterday. He bats sixth. He's the shortstop. Yachty's behind the plate again. He will bat seventh. Harrison Bader's in center field batting eighth, and Tommy Edman bats ninth, and it's a good nine hitter right there in Tommy Edman, who's off to a home run, an RBI, and a 286 batting average. The Cardinals and the Pirates this afternoon right here on KMOX. Good to hear from Skip Schumacher right there as he fills in for Oliver Marmol. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will go back to Augusta and get an update from Dan Reardon on what's happening at the Masters. President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, at 11:30, so he's only 12 minutes away. And then Ron Jacober, the Hall of Famer, St. Louis Media, Radio, Sports, and Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, will be with us to discuss his new book about the 1964 Cardinals. And I'll play you a highlight that I think is top five in KMOX history and quite possibly will never, ever, the scenario, it'll never be heard from again. You'll never hear a play-by-play man do this ever again. That's coming up at 11:45, right here on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly.
Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
John Mozeliak coming up at 11:30 on Sports on a Sunday morning, but I want to go back to Augusta National, Dan Reardon. We just have to take great advantage of the fact that our man is at the Masters. Dan, how are you? And it was great visiting with you last hour. What's new at the Masters? How's Tiger doing today?
Tiger is not doing very well. He's bogeyed three holes in a row, just came out of the bunker on seven, has a putt for par, but he's putting for par more than anything else these days at Augusta National. But like I said, he'll get his information. He'll get his round. And then quite honestly, Tom, the course is not giving up scores right now. We have only one player on the course who is two under, and we have a handful of five or six players who are one under. The other thing I'm looking at is the par fives of the front nine. The wind has switched directions, and now we're seeing that eight is playing harder than it has in the past, and two is playing easier than it has in the past. So when you look toward that 140 start and the leaders going out, you really have to look at the fives on the front nine to see if they're taking advantage of things. But Tiger's 9-0 for the championship, like I said, with a putt for par here on seven. This is going to be a Masters that will set all of his worst records for his career.
But we all know what he's dealing with, and just getting him out there on the weekend of a major is an accomplishment. He won't look at it that way, but I think, as you mentioned last hour, very smartly, he is collecting data for future endeavors, and I think that that is absolutely what he is doing.
And Tom, I will say this, and you know this as well. I think when we saw Tiger in St. Louis, it was the first time we saw Tiger respond to the emotion of the galleries, and I think he buys into that now. I think that was something unique that he experienced there, and I think that he is here as much enjoying the emotion coming from the galleries as maybe 10 years ago Tiger would have been just angry that he's not playing well. Now he appreciates the opportunity that he is a legendary figure, and he's sort of soaking it up pretty well. And I really do believe that I can just picture him on that bridge crossing over at Bellerive and stopping to wave to the galleries. And that was so out of character. And I think we're seeing that for the latter part of his career.
Love it. His connection with St. Louis will be there forever. Anytime he wants to come back, we'll plan around him. What an awesome, amazing time that was. Scottie Scheffler is the leader. He is 9-under for the championship. He'll tee off with Cameron Smith at 140. Smith, 6-under for the championship, 3 shots behind the world number one Scheffler. Sungjae Im is 4-under, can't count him out. Shane Lowry is 2-under. They go off at 130. It's a 120 tee time central time for Charles Schwartzel and Justin Thomas, which is interesting to see which one of those. Those are two really good players, Dan, that you never know. I mean, as you said, Scheffler would have to come back to them, but Schwartzel and Thomas are two that are capable of stringing together birdies.
And we need Justin Thomas to win another major. Everybody thought when he won at Quail Hollow that this was going to be the start of something big, and it hasn't gone that way. And it took Dustin Johnson quite a while to follow up on his major win at Oakmont, and he finally did it here at Augusta with that November Masters. We need that from Justin Thomas to reestablish his position in the game, because the Morikawas and the Hovlands and the other players that have come along are sort of eclipsing them a little bit. So a good round today would make a statement. And like I said, all these guys are looking. We get the lineup of the PGA in May, the U.S. Open in June, and the St. Andrews, the 150th anniversary of the Open Championship at St. Andrews in July. A great lineup. These players want to be ready for that run.
Colin Morikawa, one of the great iron players in the world, he is 1-over, and he is with Rory McIlroy today. They go off at 12:50. Rory just having trouble getting that grand slam. What happened this weekend?
Well, you know, this was out of character for him in the sense that he usually plays three good rounds and then one bad round. He's been just sort of ordinary, although yesterday his round was one of the better rounds of the day, given the circumstances. So he played it in sort of reverse order. Normally he comes in here and stumbles early and then races on the weekend. This time it's been pretty much not awful golf. He hasn't had that 75 or 76 kind of round. He's just played sort of mediocre golf all 3 days. And at 32, it becomes an issue for him to win this championship. You know, even in his 20s, Jordan Spieth is feeling the pressure of trying to win that PGA championship to complete the slam. At 32, you know, Rory is feeling that. You know, the Irish were looking at Shane Lowry to win the Masters and complete their country slam more than they were looking at Rory.
It is sunny and 64 in Augusta, Georgia right now, and that's where Dan Reardon is. We are obviously keeping very close tabs on the Masters with Dan in the house. Wind out of the west, northwest at 7 miles per hour, but as Dan mentioned, it changes direction. I've always heard the caddies there will tell you, look at the treetops. That's how you know at Augusta, right, Dan?
And let me tell you, I noticed something for the first time today, and I've been doing this forever. You see something new every time. So I went up to watch Tiger tee off today, and when he was on the tee, he walked the length of the left side of the tee, and he was looking out over the golf course. I thought maybe he was looking for Charlie or something like that. He was checking the treetops all the way out on the back nine. He was processing information that he was going to use later in the round. He wasn't looking at the wind on one. He was looking at the wind on the golf course. I've never noticed that from any player before. I thought, wow, no wonder this guy has won five times here. He knows exactly how to prepare to play in this championship.
Those two are just made for each other, Augusta National and Tiger Woods. We appreciate it, Dan, as always. Thank you for the reports from down there.
Enjoyed it, Tom.
That is Dan Reardon in Augusta at the Masters. I'm Tom Ackerman in the Stiefel Sports Studio. Sports on a Sunday morning. John Mozeliak joins us next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
From the Stiefel Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman with you. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX, joined by Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, at 11:31 on this beautiful Sunday morning. Good morning, Mo.
Morning. How are you?
Doing great. I wanted to go back a few days, first of all, and thank you for joining us at Kegs and Eggs on Thursday morning. It was outstanding to see you and have you part of the show. You're always gracious to do so. And then I wanted to just get your feelings on what that was like to be out there on that day on the field with all of that pageantry. Once again, with all the people in the seats and the Hall of Famers coming around and the players and everybody else.
You know, I think as you reflect back on it, it's something that, you know, simply put, it was just great to be a part of. And, you know, anytime you can put on your fan hat and understand the history and sort of the moment, if you will, of what Albert, Waino, and Yachty have really meant to this franchise, especially over the last really 20-plus years. And it's more than just the time or maybe even the time of absence in Albert's case, but to have it all come together where they're all back representing the Cardinals, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just incredibly lucky. And so to have that happen and to be a part of it, to witness it, is certainly, you know, something like, you know, it's a moment or a day that I'll never forget.
I always wonder, and I was in a position to see the chairman, Bill DeWitt Jr., President Bill DeWitt III, yourself, greeting everybody. And I always wonder what's said down there, the pleasantries back and forth. That has to be so much fun. Just the different personalities, the relationships. You go so far back, Mo, with so many people coming through there. That's also neat, just from a personal level.
No, it is. And you know, when you talk about those three, there's obviously a long history with them. And then, of course, some of the redcoats, as far as like seeing somebody like a Mark McGwire or a Scott Rolen, Jimmy Edmonds, Willie McGee, you know, like I see Willie every day, but you know, the point is, it's like, those are just, it's awesome. It's, you know, lucky to have the job I have and lucky to have made the friends I've made. And, you know, it's one of those things where when you think back to the connections and all of that, it's really quite remarkable. And, I'm very fortunate.
And I loved what you said to me that morning, is that, you know, we all know that it's a long season and there's success is fleeting and we all are aware of that, but that you could soak in that moment and enjoy that moment, is very special. And then it's time to play ball. You know, as soon as that's over, Adam Wainwright's throwing warm-up tosses to Yadier Molina and it's on. And boy, did he look good. Yadi, both of them. But Adam Wainwright, just a vintage performance once again. What a great start and a great win. 9-0 in game one, Mo.
Well, you know, it's it's great to see that Waino hasn't missed a beat. Obviously, when you think about what he meant to our rotation in the last 2 years, it's been, you know, completely impactful and needed. And then to have him get off to that nice start was great. I thought Miles threw the ball pretty well yesterday. I felt like, you know, obviously that first inning didn't start off the way you'd want it to. And then, you know, having to go 41 pitches in that inning is, you know, pretty stressful. But to still give us what he gave us was important. And then, obviously, we got some timely hits. So, you know, the last couple of days have gone as you would hope. And you know, now Steven Matz gets to toe the rubber today. And hopefully we can continue to build on that.
It was one of your big acquisitions, Steven Matz, the longtime New York Met. We saw him so many times rising through that organization. Dealt with some injuries here and there. Then he goes to the Blue Jays. What a season. And I guess really the thing about him is durability, pace, strike throwing, all those things wrapped into one, exactly what you were looking for.
Yeah, you certainly hope so. Obviously, you're never going to know until you go, right? Mm-hmm. But those were the reasons that we signed him. And, you know, hopefully he's able to do that. And, you know, I think when you look at our rotation, the guys that we have in there, we do have, like, high expectations of in terms of going deep into games. And then allowing us to also be creative with somebody like a Hicks in that rotation, because we're counting on the other four to go a little deeper.
Another lefty that you acquired is Corey Dickerson, and I just like the way he talks about baseball and thinks it. He's kind of an old school thinker, but advanced in the way that he uses sports psychology, if you know what I mean. I just love the way that he analyzes the game. And he was admittedly a little nervous coming out yesterday, wearing that uniform in a game for the first time, and he delivered for you, didn't he?
He did, and when you look at his sort of offensive profile, he fits us well, coming from the left side. You know, when you look at us now with a DH, we had to rethink how we thought about our roster. So when we came out of the labor situation, we knew that we had to identify someone from the left side, and then ultimately we needed someone from the right side too, and so there is how Albert ended up fitting in with us. So, you know, these are exciting two acquisitions, and hopefully from an offensive standpoint, we get the kind of contribution that we're hoping for.
Nolan Arenado had a great game. He was 4-for-4. After the game, he was interviewed, and I remember we played the Mike Claiborne interview. I remember watching the Jim Hayes interview also, and one thing he pointed out very quickly was, we have a lot of young guys in that clubhouse too. And he said, and that makes it funny, he had a big smile. I think that there's a good mix going on right now. And I look at this bullpen, and there's the mix. You have a lot of youth, but you have some veteran guys mixed in there. Cody Whitley, I'd put him sort of in the middle. He's been with the organization, but still on the younger end, gets the win. Ryan Helsley, goodness gracious, did he look good yesterday? I know it's one game, but oh, what a great start for those two.
Look, I'm excited about our bullpen. Obviously, you could argue it's not as proven as maybe some others, but we do like the sort of firepower we're bringing out of that. And when Nolan makes that comment about, you know, there is some youth in that clubhouse, I think he's also referring really to our outfield. Mm-hmm. This is an emerging group. Tyler O'Neill finishing the top 10 of MVP last year, so you know, he's obviously stepped up and is ready to be a middle of the order type hitter that you can count on. But you also look at Harrison Bader and Dylan Carlson and what they're capable of doing. I mean, it's an exciting group. And so I know we talk a lot about Yadi, Waino, and Albert, and then of course you got the two anchors of Goldie and Nolan. But there's a lot to like about this lineup, and it is, in a sense, diverse when you think about age and experience, and that's really good news for the organization.
And Newt Barr backing him up, who shows no fear and has that freakish athleticism. That's a fun-looking outfield right now. John Mozeliak is with us as we get ready for Game 3, and then tomorrow, Game 4, they'll play the Pirates one more time. It'll be a day game. Dakota Hudson gets that start. We've talked about him a lot. I do want to circle back again to what we had discussed briefly before the game on opening day, and that's the Jordan Hicks move to pitch as the fifth starter, and then it'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds and how that's handled from a strategic standpoint, Mo.
Right. Obviously, you know, we're not expecting him to go 80 to 100 pitches his first time out, but we are hoping that given the schedule in April, given the fact that we have a 28-man roster, we have the ability to protect him as well as stretch him out as we go. You know, from a medical standpoint, they were really hoping we'd go this direction from a baseball strategy standpoint. And so, you know, I think the stars aligned to allow it to happen, and now let's see if he can make the most of it. And, you know, when you think about this, it's really sort of twofold. One is, how do we best protect him from a medical standpoint? And also, how do we optimize his elite stuff? And so, you know, keeping him healthy, I think, is the chicken versus the egg standpoint, and then giving him the opportunity is the latter. So, you know, we're hoping that this combination works, and fingers crossed it does.
Well, best to our man, Oliver Marmol, who normally would join us on Sunday morning, but under the weather, and Skip Schumacher with a nice Cardinals managerial debut yesterday. You're 2-0, John Mozeliak. Best to those two and your club as you get going today.
Yeah, I wish Ollie well. Spoke with him briefly this morning, and obviously he just wasn't feeling well yesterday. Fever's broke, so I think we'll see him back at the ballpark sometime tomorrow. But just to keep everybody safe and healthy, we'll go with one more day with Shu at the helm.
Got it, and we appreciate you as well. Be well, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
That sounds good. Thank you.
There he is, John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with us, as always, on these Sunday mornings. It is Sports on a Sunday Morning. I'm Tom Ackerman. The former host of this show is Ron Jacober, and he is going to join us next with a new book about the 1964 Cardinals. We're going to take a little step back in time, but also, Ron is never short of opinion. We'll ask him what he thinks about this 2022 Cardinals ball club. Next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday Morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman with you, Stiefel Sports Studio. James O'Sullivan is our producer. Had a lot of fun on this show. John Mozeliak, last segment. Great to hear from him. Ollie Marmol is out with the flu. Skip Schumacher has stepped in as manager once again. We had a lot of stuff going on with the Cardinals. We heard from Dan Reardon a couple of times from the Masters, and now it is time to bring in the former host of Sports on a Sunday Morning, St. Louis Media Hall of Fame, St. Louis Radio Hall of Fame, St. Louis Sports, Missouri Sports Halls of Fame. Hello, Ron Jacober to KMOX.
Yeah, I'm kind of familiar with Sports on a Sunday Morning. I think I did it for 25 years, something like that. Something like that. Good to talk to you, Tom.
Good to talk to you. You are the proud author, co-author, of a book about the 1964 Cardinals. It's called 64 Cardinals, A Team, A Season, and A Showdown for the Ages. I have the book sitting on my coffee table. I was flipping through it while watching the game and the Masters simultaneously. It is excellent. I mean, really, really good.
Thank you, Tom. It's people say, why did you write about 64? Well, not only did they win the World Series, but it's the way they won through the season and everything that happened off the field in the front office. And there was so much intrigue, and like Gussie Bush firing Bing Devine, the general manager, in the middle of the season, for example. And everything that happened that year made it one of the most, if not the most, unique season in Cardinal history, in addition to beating the Yankees in seven games. Tom, this team was 11 games out of first place with 39 to go. And they still won it. No team has ever done that. 11 games to be out of first with 39 games to play. So, I mean, so many interesting things happened that year. So it was fun to do.
Absolutely was. And I know that it's a great rundown of some of the great names. Some of the people that you talked to, Mike Shannon. You spoke to Dal Maxville. You spoke to Tim McCarver. I want to go back to Shannon. Some of these pictures in this book are so good. I love seeing a young Mike Shannon talking to the media, hitting a home run in the World Series. He's one of those players that I know that this generation knows him as a broadcaster. He was a tremendous baseball player.
Well, he was a great athlete, period. I mean, he went to Missouri on a football scholarship. He was a quarterback in high school. But after a year there, the Cardinals recognized he was a good baseball player, too, and signed him. He was called up in the middle of the 64 season, Tom. He didn't start the year with them, so he was a rookie. They put him in right field because he had such a strong throwing arm. And in game one of the World Series at Sportsman's Park,
or which was later called Busch Stadium, he hit a home run off Whitey Ford. And I talked to him about it, and I said, tell me about it. He said, well, he threw me two curveballs inside and then hung one. And he hit it out of sight. If people remember the old Sportsman's Park, in left field there were the bleachers, and above the bleachers, a big manual scoreboard. Above that manual scoreboard was a huge neon sign. I think the first neon sign in baseball. It was a Budweiser sign. And Mike's home run knocked out the U in the Budweiser sign above it all. I said, how far would it go, Mike? He said, I don't know, but it was a long one.
This is game one of the World Series.
Yeah, game one of the World Series.
And then swung on, deep into left field. Back goes Trash. This ball is home run. A home run. Mike Shannon has just tied this ball game up with a tremendous home run off the scoreboard.
There you go, buddy. That's your made, you just described
that's
it
a
well.
Great call. What made it even more unusual or more fun, he was after the game and, you know, all the interviews and stuff, he was driving home because he's a St. Louis guy. And the Globe Democrat in those days put out an extra. And there was a newsboy standing in the corner as Mike's driving home, with a holding up a paper yelling, Shannon home run, Cardinals beat the Yankees. He said it was such a surreal feeling to see that and hear that. He stopped and bought a bunch of papers. And I would have too.
Absolutely. You know, we all know the names Lou Brock, and we know the trade with Ernie Broglio and the history of that, and Bob Gibson, two Hall of Famers right there, part of this 1964 team. Here's a player that I see his picture throughout this book, and maybe people should recognize how good he was. He was outstanding. Here's the call, Ken Boyer.
Kenny Boyer, the batter, the Cardinals with their best opportunity. Bases loaded, one out. Boyer, who led the major leagues and runs batted in this year. There's a drive way back. It might be. It could be. It is a home run. Kenny Boyer. Long time due in this World Series, just became the ninth player to hit a grand slammer. He hit a changeup, a drive deep into the lower section in left field. And with one swing of the bat, the Cardinals are now out in front 4-3.
Threw him a changeup, see you later. And you heard Harry say in the beginning of that call, Ron, led the National League in RBIs.
Yeah, he did. He had a great year. That was in game four. And the cover of the book is Boyer crossing home plate after that Grand Slam home run. And he didn't do too much offensively in the World Series except for that. This is a story for another day, but I was with Ken Boyer the day he got fired by then-General Manager John Claiborne in Montreal between games of a doubleheader. And it's a long story about me getting him on a plane to come back to St. Louis. And I won't bore you with it now, but it was one of the strangest experiences of my career. I was the only person in the world that knew where Ken Boyer was. And he spilled his guts to me on the way back about everything going on. We were 5 minutes out of St. Louis, and I had called the newsroom. I was still at Channel 5. I had called the newsroom, meet me there at the airport with the camera crew. So we were 5 minutes out, and I said, Kenny, I'd like to do a short interview. Oh, I won't talk. I said, you've been talking for 3 hours. You've been spilling your life to me. And he wouldn't do the interview. But it's a long story. But Kenny was a tremendous athlete and a great third baseman. You know, he came up, he started in Major League Baseball, in professional baseball, as a pitcher. And he wasn't all that successful. He could throw hard, but he could hit. And when they recognized he could hit, they made him a third baseman.
Wow. That story, by the way, just reminds me of the relationships that you and I have had with these managers, Tony La Russa, Mike Matheny, Mike Schilt, and now Oliver Marmol. And I was reading the book about Johnny Keene and just fascinated with the entire story. I mean, he looks the part of a manager in his picture, but his profile was not your typical manager, and the story of 64 certainly wasn't.
No, not at all. In fact, Gussie wanted to fire him too, Gussie Bush. And Bush had hired Branch Rickey, the legendary Branch Rickey, as a consultant. Well, Branch Rickey and Bing Devine didn't get along at all, and the suspicion is that's the reason Bush fired Devine. But Gussie also wanted to fire Johnny Keene, and we believe that Branch Rickey talked him out of it, wait till the end of the season. But Gussie had heard an interview on Harry Carey with Leo DeRocher. DeRocher wasn't managing at that time. And DeRocher expressed the desire to get back into the game as a manager. Gussie heard that and had Harry secretly bring DeRocher to St. Louis, secretly take him to Grant's Farm for an interview. They met for a couple of hours, and when DeRocher left, Gussie said, "You're going to be my next manager." Well, it's supposed to be all secret, but there's no crying in baseball. There's no secrets in baseball. And Johnny Keene found out about it. And he decided in September he was going to quit at the end of the year, regardless of what happened. Well, they win the pennant. Gussie shows up offering him a new contract. And Keene said, "Well, let's wait till all this is over." So they called a news conference after the Cardinals won the World Series to announce a new deal for Johnny Keene, and he handed Gussie his resignation. Unbelievable.
It is.
Unbelievable.
Then he ends up managing the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. Within a week later, he was managing the Yankees. The Yankees were managed by Yogi Berra. The Yankees won 99 games that season, but they didn't think Yogi was going to be a good manager. That was his first year. So they fired him. Keene resigns here and winds up taking over the Yankees, the team he just beat in the World Series. That's what made stories like that made that year just unbelievable.
Definitely. The whole comeback was just, you know, incredible, remarkable, unheard of. And, you know, the Cardinals doing what they did in 2011 is something, and the 1964 is something else. This call right here sort of encapsulates everything, and I tease this, so I want you to hear this and then react.
Okay.
This call by Harry Carey, I said, the nature of this call, this will never happen again. No play-by-play man will ever do this, and you will never see this again. Here it is.
Now the stretch. Ready, everybody standing up. The pitch, a high pop foul, the curve is there, the Cardinals won the pennant, the Cardinals won the pennant, the Cardinals won the pennant, everybody out, Johnny, everybody congratulating everybody, I don't know if they'll ever get here, the Cardinals have just won the pennant, mayhem on the field, Joe Schultz, congratulations, hey, Ray Washburn, Bob Skinner! Hey! Oh! Hey, Tim! Timmy! Hey, Tim! Timmy! Hey, Tim! Come here! How about the boy?
That was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life!
Okay! All right, let's hold it up! Hey, Dick!
Oh,
hold it! Dick Rose! We made it, did we, hey? What a finish! The long haul, we finally made it! Congratulations! Congratulations! Okay! See him all in the clubhouse in a moment.
I mean, are you kidding me? He's out there with the players celebrating on
Harry
the field.
Was, believe me, as we all know, one of a kind. It was unbelievable. I just as a side note, I was the only media person that found Harry the day he was fired by the Cardinals by Anheuser-Busch. But anyway, Harry was unique. There's no question about that. Nobody. Harry exaggerated. He was a very exciting play-by-play guy, but he always said, "I'm not doing this play-by-play guy for the sitting in the box seats behind third base. I'm doing it for the guys in the tavern in South St. Louis and the people in Cape Girardeau and wherever else they're listening." So he made the games very exciting, but that was a unique. I remember that now, Tom. That was really something. I remember hearing it, you know.
Isn't that amazing? And you heard Dick Rhode in there and Tim McCarver and others, a young Timmy.
McCarver was a rookie that season, and he bragged to me. He said, I called and caught every pitch that Bob Gibson threw in three World Series. But he hit a three-run homer in the 10th inning of Game 5 in Yankee Stadium. This is how much those guys remember. And the Yankees had moved Mickey Mantle to right because of his knees and put Maris in center. And in the 10th inning, McCarver hits a three-run homer, and he said, in my mind's eye, I can still see Mantle going back to the wall and the ball flying over his head into the stands. He said, it's the single most exciting, memorable thing in my life.
Wow. That was great.
Yeah, it's right. I love talking to those guys. They really...
I bet. It's so good. We have about 30 seconds, but I'll just say the pictures are remarkable. The stories, I love. You want to educate people about the team and the season. Some of the stories that maybe we didn't know are so good. Ron, where can we get the book?
Well, you can get it at any place that sells bookstores, that sells books. We were at Barnes & Noble yesterday in West County. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, as a matter of fact, we had a book signing in Christopher's in Kirkwood on on argon.
Oh, good.
That's great. And you can get it on Amazon, too, everywhere. You know,
64 Cardinals, a team, a season, and a showdown for the ages. Ron Jacober, always great to have you on KMOX.
Tom, thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. Cardinal baseball is coming up next, right here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.